Mark Masters is joining us, TSN hockey reporter. Mark, good afternoon. Thank you for joining the show today.
Good to be on with you.
So we will get into all things hockey and preview what is to come, but how different is this environment for you versus last time? And I mean this from the, you know, like we were joking about everyone fleeing and leaving you alone there because unfortunately you had to stay in Edmonton, a positive COVID test, and had to self-isolate. But the fact it's in August, the incredibly dark clouds over everything Hockey Canada, I mean, the compare and contrast this versus early January must be stunning.
Yeah, well, it feels so different. I'm kind of intrigued to see what it's actually going to feel once the games get going for real. And Canada, I guess, plays on Wednesday here against Latvia, as you mentioned. So I'll be intrigued to see what the feel in the building's like, what the crowd is like. But yeah, even the camp's been shorter. They didn't do a selection camp, so there's no cut. You mentioned the stuff that is going on around Hockey Canada. There wasn't as much media coverage leading into this. There was one day there was no media there. I was at the women's camp that was also in Calgary. They've been up in Soutina Nation, Alberta, for the last week, the World Junior team, doing some training camp practices and team bonding there. And now they arrived in Edmonton last night. So we're getting our feel for what the city's got to offer. But obviously, considering everything that's going around, it is feeling really, really kind of bizarre right now.
How much of it is overshadowing, you know, the conversation about Connor Bedard, about who's in net, about you know, eventually games between Canada and the United States, or Canada, you know, just how much of everything with the scandal and the people that are stepping down, how much of that is overshadowing actual hockey talk?
Yeah, I mean, it is for sure. There's days where the coverage, when it comes to the, you know, our World Juniors, is takes a back seat to the developments that Rick Westhead and other journalists are following when it comes to the scandal and the allegations. So, yeah, there hasn't been a lot of drilling down on, you know, who's the starter and, you know, who's the best fit on that top line beside, you know, Connor Bedard and Mason McTavish and all that sort of stuff for sure. It's just the way it is. And rightfully so, considering the gravity of the situation. So it has been strange in that regard because we're so used to, and usually in the December camp, you show up and immediately you're drilling down onto these positional battles to see who are going to be the odd guys out. And this year it's kind of the camp just for the week and over the last week. And maybe now it changes a bit that there's a game. There's a big scrum for Coach Dave Cameron this morning. Now that we're in Edmonton, a lot of the local journalists, of course, are out. So we'll see if that changes a bit. But it's been a really quiet build-up for the actual team in the actual tournament.
Yeah, the thing is, once it gets started, it'll become about hockey. Once it's Canada versus the United States, it'll be about hockey. And I'll say the obvious part on the front end. The number one individuals that I feel sorry for are the alleged victims in the stories we heard about what happened in 2018 or 2003. And of course, any and all sympathy goes towards family, friends, and any terror that might have, you know, that might have come from this. On the other side, I feel bad for the players on this team. You know, this is a very special time for them. Like some of them, that legends can be made, careers can be pushed forward, and incredible experiences for these guys. And I don't know if it'll feel the same if it was earlier, if it was in New Year's, if it wasn't with, you know, everything going on where Michael Brindamore, is stepping down, the chair of the board of directors for Hockey Canada. So I feel sorry for the players themselves because the focus, rightfully so, isn't just on what's on the ice.
Yeah, that's, you know, Mason McTavish, the captain, he said there's a little extra pressure. I don't know if pressure is the right word, but a little extra scrutiny on this year's team, a little extra weight on their shoulders just because it's the first World Junior since everything came to light. And that's just the reality. I mean, it was always going to feel different because we're in the summer. There's nine guys that were here in December that aren't back for a variety of reasons, whether it be injury, fatigue, or just gearing up for their NHL camp. So already there's a different feel. And then, of course, everything that you just laid out and that we've been talking about has contributed to it. I will say that they haven't shied away. I mean, certainly it's been uncomfortable questions at times for the players because they're part of the system, But they're also not part of the teams that have faced the allegations. But I was impressed with the players I talked to because they went through a sexual violence workshop earlier in the camp, and they spoke really well about they embracing that and asking questions and talking about subjects like consent and being educated in a way that maybe they haven't in the past. So I was impressed with that, and they're all in on trying to be part of the solution and moving forward in that regard.
Joined by our hockey reporter, Mark Masters. And Mark, when people go, you know, I might not watch as much because it's going on in August. I'm like, you're ridiculous. Who doesn't want more sports? It's you know, you get four CFL games. It's NFL preseason. I don't care about that. The Jays have got 48 more games against the Baltimore Orioles. Give me some hockey in August. I am all for it. Also, I get jealous staring at ice as I'm right. But I'm in a non-air-conditioned room where I am. So it's a long-winded way of me asking, Mark, what are some of the things that, like, if you wanted to get people hooked into the tournament, which starts Wednesday, Canada-Latvia, a game you can listen to on TSN 1050, what are some of the big on-ice hockey storylines that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, it's Connor Bedard, right? I mean, that's the headliner. Last time I saw him play a World Junior game, he scored 4 goals, youngest guy to ever do it. At that level, that result got wiped out, and now he's back 7 months older and wiser, and he was scintillating down the stretch in the Western Hockey League. He's good, you know, the projected first overall pick in 2023. He's skating on the top line with Mason McTavish and Joshua Waugh, the Montreal Canadiens prospect. He's on the top power play unit. Remember, when he made the team, first of all, he was on the bubble to make the team in December, and he was the 13th forward to start. It didn't take him long for him to move up, but now that he's back and he's just a little wiser, a little bigger, a little stronger, he could just take over this tournament. So I'm excited to see what he does there. From a Leafs perspective, Matthew Nyes on Team USA, Topi Niemelä on Team Finland, Ronnie Hirvonen on Team Finland. So I'm sure Leafs fans will be plugged in to see those guys from the other group, and everything's in Edmonton. So there'll be no crossover. Like, there'll be no you can watch every game. Sometimes, you know, early in the tournaments, there's, you know, one game starting in Red Deer, the other game's going in Edmonton. Every game will be on its own at this tournament, just like in the bubble in Edmonton a couple of years ago. So, Bedard is, for me, the headliner. And then, there's going to be a lot of talent. At least fans will be engaged, I'm sure, for those prospects I just named.
Yeah, that is a good point. Once again, Mark, it goes back to my very difficult position. What do I do? Matthew Nyes scores for the U.S. against Canada, and it's an incredible moment of athleticism that looks like it can translate to the professional game. How am I supposed to feel as the Leaf fan at that moment?
you're going to feel, hopefully, it's the one American goal in a 3-1 Team Canada win or something like that. But that it's a, you know, it's. You can just embrace good hockey, right? You just embrace good hockey, especially in the summer when we haven't seen high-level hockey in a while. I mean, I think you're going to be happy to see any nice plays right now.
Yes, yes, 100%. Hey, Mark, really, really appreciate. And, you know, it's weird, but I'm thrilled that it's going on. I'm thrilled that you were there. And you would come on, and I would do my normal jackass thing, and we would joke about it and laugh about it and what you were watching in the hotel room. But I'm glad you're back there, and I'm rooting for you as well, that you can, you know, do your job properly and just enjoy the moment as much as can be done under these circumstances, considering what happened last time to you, early in January.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird. We didn't even mention Russia's not here. The whole point
the only reason
Latvia is here is because Russia and Belarus aren't available. Belarus was going to be the team coming up, and so they didn't replace Russia. So Latvia gets called up out of nowhere. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, what did you say the line was for that Canada-Latvia game?
Six and a half. Yeah, I was looking at FanDuel, and it was 6.5.
What was it, 11-2 they beat Austria, 11-3 or something? And I'd imagine a similar script following that type of game, but we'll see. The plucky Latvians maybe are able to surprise and keep it close, but they're going to be tough. I think it's a back to back for them too. I think they play on Tuesday, so could be for the Latvians.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when it's plucky versus powerhouse, take powerhouse and the points. Plucky's a nice Disney story. On the ice, Plucky usually goes home with a big loss.
Yeah, but don't forget the Germans, the couple years ago in the bubble, they showed up, everyone had COVID, they were playing a man down, and they got thrashed by the Canadians. They ended up making the quarterfinals and giving Russia a good battle. So it's not how you start,
that's right,
it's how you finished, and who knows? Maybe the Latvians will win over some fans. That's part of the fun of the tournament, is the crowd gets into it. I remember in Toronto how they rallied the fans, the Slovaks, when they went on that amazing run to the bronze medal, I believe it was. So you never know what will happen. That's the fun of this kind of World Junior event. And I feel like it's going to be even more unpredictable just because there's been changeover for the teams. And we're in the middle of the summer, right? Dave Cameron's saying there's going to be odd man rushes and turnovers and more space. So it could be a lot of fun hockey in terms of, I'm sure not for the coaches, but from an aesthetics point of view and just watching it, a lot, it could be even more mistakes than usual. And there's usually a lot of mistakes because it's junior hockey. So buckle up.
Ah, love it. Mistakes. It's like the first month of an NHL season. Give me the mistakes before those stupid coaches get their hands all over the players and everyone's playing responsible hockey. Ah, no time for responsible hockey. Mark, a pleasure. We will chat soon. Again, first game, Canada versus Latvia, Wednesday. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1050. All the best. We'll chat soon, my friend.
Sounds good.
Take care. That is Mark Masters, our TSN first-class reporter.